Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to tell you a cool story that I heard on Monday, which was awesome, about how thanking a veteran or extending gratitude, even if it's someone you don't know, can really make a difference. It's pretty sweet. So we'll get to that. And I did share a photo that I took in May that I feel like really embodies the spirit of Veterans Day and also Memorial Day. But you can check that out at A-Law Radio. I used it on our Facebook page as well when I was posting the link to our most recent podcast. So if you were not with us last night, well, we missed you. But welcome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just wrapping up week number 10. Are you kidding me? That's where we stand right now. Well past the midway point of the NFL season. And we wrapped up week 10 in Los Angeles, Dolphins and Rams. And so we're going to talk about that game momentarily. And actually, Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald will join us right off the top here in a couple of minutes. We don't generally have guests this early, but he's in LA and he wants to be able to join us. That fits his schedule too. So we're going to make that happen. So we'll get to that coming up. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, check it out at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. What if I told you the Los Angeles Rams were held without a touchdown in their own building, a team that had been surging over the recent few games because of the return of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua? And what did we see last week against the Seattle Seahawks? A Matthew Stafford who can still chuck and duck, who can still throw the ball downfield, certainly can still move the chains using the various weapons around him. And yet those Rams were held without a touchdown in their own building against the Dolphins, who were working to end a three-game losing skid. And while we've seen good things from Tua since he returned from his concussion, he did get hit a little more tonight. There were a couple of moments where I thought, no, those are not the kind of hits I need from Tua or need for Tua. But he was able to move the ball around, and the Dolphins capitalizing on their opportunities much more so than the home team.
Tua under center, tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around. Coming to Washington 20. Got a block 15. Numbers 10. Near sideline 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards.
Tua takes the snap. Guides it back out. Throws it. Touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Boy, the Tua fake, Jimmy, was fantastic. Looked like he handed the ball off only to pull it back, and Tyreek Hill was wide open, just sliding outside.
Oh, there is so much we could say about that Tyreek Hill touchdown. Did you know that ends the longest drought of his career? So going back to his days in Kansas City, now in Miami, of course, this was the longest he'd gone without a touchdown. Hadn't scored a touchdown since week 1 of the NFL season. between he and Jalen Waddle, who actually had a potential touchdown pass go through his hands on this night, the two of them had total two touchdowns. And so this was the third between the top receivers on the Miami Dolphins. You hear the calls with Kevin Harlan on Westwood One and then also Jimmy Cefalo on the Dolphins radio network. After that Tyreek touchdown, which was from 1 yard out, really was a pretty play design for Mike McDaniel and his staff. There were only field goals the rest of the way. It was kind of weird. We saw a bunch of weird week 10 in the NFL. So Hill gets into the end zone about 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. And then it's five consecutive drives between the Rams and the Dolphins with nothing but field goals. Couple of 50-plus yarders. I'm coming to find out that we might need to make it more challenging for kickers in the NFL because routinely now they're lining up for 55-plus field goals, and it seems to be no big thing. But the Dolphins are able to hold off the Rams. The defense played tremendously well, and this despite the fact that there were four turnovers in the first half alone. Tua himself had a turnover via interception and then via fumble.
Continuing to play the game. That's it. Continuing to trust what I see. Mike just called the game how he's seen it. And it's my job to go out there and execute it to the best of my ability.
Tua gets so mad at himself and holds himself to a high standard, but he's also recognizing that he's the franchise quarterback of this team. So you can't go too deep into your own self-lashing. You have to lead and you have to move on from things, good or bad.
Self-lashing. I've never heard that phrase before, but I like it from Mike McDonald. So yes, Tua hard on himself, but he's also a professional and knows how to work his way out of that and make sure it doesn't provide a carryover. The defense was terrific for the Dolphins. Four sacks of Matthew Stafford, no touchdowns allowed. And Jalen Ramsey, of course, who used to be a Ram, he recognized that they're in a bit of a challenge here trying to come back from 2-6.
Belief, that's the very first thing. Everybody got to believe, and I think we do have a group that believes. I think we showed that tonight in times where there was adversity that happened. And then, we had trust and belief in each other. In the different units, and like I said, play some complimentary ball at times. I think if we continue to grow and build off that type of thing, off those type of things, then yeah, we can be a team that controls our own destiny.
Now the Dolphins sit at 3-6, and while they are very unlikely to win the AFC East, the Bills are about to clinch that puppy. Still in the AFC with enough time left to go in those three wild cards, there is a possibility. At least they're staying afloat in the AFC. As for the Rams, they fall to 4-5. This was a rough day for the offense. Again, we'd seen some rhythm from them. I thought the offense had settled in with the return of the two receivers from Matthew Stafford, but they go 0-3 in the red zone and just 3-12 on third down. I don't think they converted a third down until late in the third quarter.
It's just negative plays at the wrong times, right? Whether it's a turnover or a sack or a inefficient play on first down, whatever it was, we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in that kind of strike zone area, right? 30-yard line-ish area. And that was probably the difference in the game.
It's really frustrating, especially for me. I mean, I was, expecting high things for myself. I feel like I myself could have done a lot of things better to help the team out. And it sucks, my first game, we end up losing in Detroit. My first game back, we end up losing here. But, I'm trying not to be too hard on myself. We have practice for a reason, so we're just going to practice for the next game.
That's offensive lineman Steve Avila and maybe expressing some of the frustration inside the locker room. And, yeah, there was a lot of traffic around Stafford. Nothing he isn't used to, but a couple of times getting hit. There were multiple fumbles, even though there was only one lost fumble. Again, at A-Law Radio is where you can reach us. Now that week 10 is in the books, we saw some good, we saw some bad, we saw some Glee. But with the Dolphins ending their losing skid, I'd love to know their attitude inside their own locker room. And here in moments, we'll speak with Omar Kelly, who's a journalist and a columnist for the Miami Herald, on hand for this Rams-Dolphins game to wrap up Week 10 at SoFi Stadium. Interesting, by the way, to see Odell Beckham Jr. catch a pass there at SoFi, considering that really the last couple years of his career were completely turned upside down with that torn ACL in the Super Bowl that happened as a member of the Rams with that stadium there. I'm sure there have to be a ton of memories there. Right now, we are pleased to welcome Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. And I want to start with something, Omar, thank you so much for a couple of minutes, that you just posted about an hour ago on your own Twix. The Dolphins have more hope for sale in 2024. Why? Why do they still have hope at this point?
Because they still got a chance at the playoffs. In fact, they've got a 60% chance at making the playoffs. There are only six teams in the AFC that have winning records, and Miami is right in the mix when it comes to that final wild card spot. They haven't played their best football, and in fact, I would say the victory they just pulled off against the Rams was their best game, but it still wasn't a game where they played their best football because they didn't have an effective rushing attack, and they've had that pretty much for the majority of the season.
Does the hope that you express also get reflected inside the locker room now that they've ended their losing skid?
Oh, absolutely. They're the ones that make me believe because they're so adamant and confident that they can turn this thing around. And it starts from the leadership, the guys like Calais Campbell, the guys like Jalen Ramsey, Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill. They're very confident that they're better than they played. Obviously, Tua's injury, sort of hamstrung the team for the first 4 weeks of the season while he was out with his concussion. Mm-hmm. And the losses that they have to Arizona and to Buffalo were last second kicks in games that they pretty much played very good, very efficient games, and still didn't give their best. So, they beat themselves a lot with fumbles and turnovers, and this is about a team that's trying to become more disciplined and trying to put together their best selves.
Well, let's talk about Tua a little bit. It certainly sparked the offense right away when he came back. They just didn't have the win initially. But how have you seen him step right back into this role leading the offense?
Oh, he's still the same old Tua. Probably a little bit turn up the volume on the leadership. When a team gives you a franchise contract, you really know you're the highest paid employee in the building. You take on that leadership role. And he's certainly done that. He's been more accountable to his teammates. He's been more of a leader rallying the team. During his hiatus from the concussions, he really stepped up and started showing up for coaching hours and helping the team put together game plans. And that's just something that he does, on his own. He didn't have to do that. He just did that because he wanted to help and contribute in any way that he could.
I didn't think he got hit a whole lot last week. It kind of actually maybe the first two games back. It felt like they were able to avoid him taking a whole lot of contact. Different in this game, though. A couple of sacks, couple of moments where I will admit I held my breath a little bit. And then to see him get out and try to tackle after a change of possession. What kind of restrictions are there on Tua, if any?
He says if you're thinking about it, you're not going to play your best. He's just going out there and he's playing football. Tua's already said, I love this game and I love it to the death of me. I don't think he worries. He goes out there and he worries about concussions. He just knows he has to be more careful about the way that he conducts himself and conducts his body. So he's sliding a little bit more. You saw him the whole time. He was trying to stop the guy with the interception. He was really going to just use his body, not necessarily his head. However, the foot did have some contact with the head. His whole point is, if I got to think about it, then I'm not going to be my best. And so he's out there and he's trying to play the game that he knows, how he knows.
Is anybody else talking about it or thinking about it, Omar?
Oh, absolutely. His teammates say it all the time. Tyreek applauds him anytime he slides and gets down.
Good.
they realize they're a much better team with him than without him. So they encourage him to do things safe.
Omar Kelly is with us after Monday Night Football covering the Dolphins and their hope for the Miami Herald. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's interesting to think about the arc for Tyreek Hill and also for Jalen Waddle. And I know that there's at least one drop in there he'd like to have back. But just one touchdown for Tyreek since, what, the opener, right? So it's only three total touchdowns between them. How can they increase the production for those two guys?
Well, it's really the team is saying that a lot of teams are giving them cloud coverage, which basically forces them to run the ball. And so a lot of teams want to give Miami the run game, and they become more efficient run blockers. But obviously it's about beating one-on-one coverage, beating press coverage, and they have to become better at it. Now, Tyreek is playing with a wrist injury, so, you know, who's to say that, you know, he's gonna have the successful season that he's had the majority of his career. But you see other guys stepping up, like Odell Beckham, like Malik Washington, like River Craycraft, Jonnu Smith, the tight end. And really, this is probably the third game that Tua's efficiently spread the ball around to eight or nine targets.
I'm glad you brought up OBJ, because I can imagine there were some memories back at SoFi Stadium. He had a big catch late in the game. What did he have to say about returning to the Super Bowl, the scene of the Super Bowl?
OBJ and Jalen Ramsey, they were both excited about being back in Los Angeles. Any team that wins a championship for you is going to have a special place in your heart. So, but OBJ is really focused on just trying to get healthy, trying to put his best foot forward to make sure he ends his career on a high note, because based on what I've seen, there isn't much left in what he has to offer athletically. So he's just trying to make the best that he can out of what's still there.
I like the post that you had during the game. I happened to see it retweeted by someone else. I'm like, hey, that's our guy. That's the guy we're having on our show tonight. About Calais Campbell, who went to the University of Miami as an All-American basketball player and was going to do both sports. He'll be a two-sport athlete. And then he quit because he realized that he would lose too much weight.
Yeah, he basically, that was one of the reasons he committed to University of Miami, to play both sports. And then his coach told him, playing basketball, you probably got to lose 20 pounds. And he's like, I just worked really hard to put on these 20 pounds. So, yeah, he had to scrap that plan. And he knew football was his future, where his future would lie.
He is such a great athlete, obviously has a presence both on the field and in the locker room. How much do guys like that, veteran guys, Jalen Ramsey as well, mean to this team as they're trying to stay together with all this adversity?
Yeah, it's really the leadership that's kept it all together, because I've covered a lot of Dolphins teams that are thrown in the towel, would have quit by now. Interestingly enough, they in the 2021 season, the last year Vikings defensive coordinator now.
Oh, Brian Flores.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, with Brian Flores, they rallied back and they won 8 of 9 games, and there are a lot of players on that team from Tua to Austin Jackson to Emmanuel Ogba, who remember that rallying back. And it's really about the leadership that you have and following through with the leadership and believing in yourself and also doing your job and just your job, nothing extra.
What stands out about the defensive performance in holding the Rams to zero touchdowns?
Yeah, it's really the success that they had on third downs. They really had an efficient, efficient, and they've been very good and very efficient on third downs the majority of the season. They began the year, probably spent the first probably 5-6 weeks number one in third downs in the NFL. They had a stretch where they lost a lot of key players, from Zach Sealer to Kader Kohu to Devon Holland, and they got all of them back today. So this is probably a little bit more in line with what they can do for the rest of the season if everybody stays healthy.
We know the AFC East is not quite the division that people expected for a lot of reasons, not just Tua's injury, but also the Jets have been awful. Patriots in there as well, which is the three wins. So the Bills could potentially clinch this puppy in like week 11 or week 12.
Yes. I think it's week 12. We figured it out.
Nice. So what are a couple of the games still on the schedule that stand out to you, ones that you feel like could help the Dolphins get where they want to go?
Well, everything is an elimination game from this point out. You know, maybe they can suffer one loss, but they gotta beat the Raiders next week. Then after that, you gotta take on the New England Patriots. Those are two games that you'll probably be favored to win at home, and then you travel up to Green Bay to play them on Thanksgiving, and that's going to be a critical game because, as I told you, they really can't afford any more losses if they're going to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, not just the Packers on the road, who are also vying for playoffs, but still on the road at Houston, a first-place team against the Niners, who no doubt will have some playoffs on their mind as well. So they've got their work cut out for them, to be sure. And yet you're telling me there's still hope in the locker room.
There's still hope. They believe in themselves, and that's one thing. They believe in their coaching staff, and really they haven't played their best ball yet. And you know, teams actually, I think victories spark rallies, and I think this is one of those victories that's actually going to help them play better football down the stretch.
Before I let you go, Omar, what's it like to cover a team that's coached by Mike McDonald? Because he's a unique personality.
Oh, very, very unique. quirky, funny. you know, you could expect there's a lot of rambling, unfortunately, but he's very funny and entertaining and very stylish. I admire his shoe game. That's one of my favorite shoe games in probably all of sports.
Nice. Well, you can find Omar online at Omar Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, a journalist and a columnist for the Miami Herald. He's touting some hope right now that came out of that Dolphins locker room as they end their losing skid. Omar, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I know it's been a long day, but we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
You should check out the photo on his X page. That sounds weird. On his Twix page, because he's sitting next to Mike McDaniel at a press conference or some type of formal setting with the Dolphins logo and sheet behind them. And the face that McDaniel is making is classic. So good stuff with Omar. Appreciate that. So you can find him online. Yeah, he's espousing hope from the Dolphins that he says he got from their locker.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Room. They are a confident bunch. We heard Jalen Ramsey use the word belief, as in we believe and we have to believe in ourselves. And yeah, we'll talk about these NFL standings a little bit, but it really is a stark contrast between the haves and the have-nots in the NFL this year. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, if you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, we'd love to hear from you. Soon, we'll reveal the candidates for TD of the week as well. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tua takes a snap, goes it back out, throws a touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Boy, the Tua fake, Jimmy, was fantastic. Looked like he handed the ball off only to pull it back and Tyreek Hill was wide open, just sliding outside.
I want to be able to look at the tape, but there was a lot of things that were not in alignment with what we're looking for. That's why, you know, you hear us talk about the importance of the continuity. Got a lot of respect for that defense. They did a nice job, but there was too many things that it just seemed like we were off and never gave ourselves a chance.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Dolphins Radio Network, they got all that they needed. A first quarter touchdown on their opening drive, actually, from rookie Malik Washington. He was able to get in from 18 yards out. And then the last touchdown of the game to Tuatagovailoa to Tyreek Hill. And it's Tyreek's first to score since the opening weekend. A lot of field goals outside of that. And Sean McVay, you can hear the talk, the concern about the offensive struggles. He even said, yeah, he felt like the team was sloppy. Matthew Stafford reiterated that they made mistakes and took steps back at the worst possible times. As for Tua, I felt like he got hit more than he needed to this game, so it makes me a little bit nervous. However, he pops right back up, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he looks like Tua. He looks normal. He looks like he's active, and he's in charge, and mentally, he's locked in. And so what can you say? He's passed through all the concussion protocols. No doubt they test him on a regular basis, and they're watching him very carefully. He just wants to play football, and he said that. He said he's willing to take the risk for the joy of playing football. And yeah, he's got to get Hill and Waddle more involved, because right now, between those two talented receivers, they have just three touchdowns.
Tyreek's a dog. Like, going from Mr. 2K last year, everybody talking about him, to, will he hit 1,000 yards? Will Jalen hit 1,000 yards? Like, Jalen, a dog too. Coming into this game, I mean, they could have easily said, like, dude, just continue to throw the ball, even if they're in a too high shell. But, I mean, those guys are in it, man. They're just in it to win it.
And so he is on it with his two top receivers. And yeah, as they continue to play together again, I am sure that we will see more of that. Because remember, this was the offense that had what led the NFL in points last year, but also Tua, who was tops in the NFL in passing yards. 855-212-4227. Pablo's in New Mexico. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
Cool. I've been listening to you for years, went through your wedding, your lost flowers, they never got delivered.
Blah, oh, no, they blah. Did. They did 3 days before the wedding. They finally made it.
What a nail biter. Oh,
right.
My goodness.
Right.
Crazy. I want to talk some football.
Okay.
I talked to some people, and they said that after week six, we would narrow down what the playoff picture would look like. Now it's week 10. Can I get your perspective on who you think are the top contenders? Because everything's changed. Everybody's out there. It's a big old gamut. I mean, we have to narrow it down now.
Do we have to? I think that's kind of the fun, is that it's still extremely wide open.
No, it's week 10. We only have six more weeks.
Actually, that's not true. We've got more than that. They go through week 18 in the NFL in the regular season.
Oh, is it 18 now?
Well, because each team has one bye week, and
they all play
17 games. Yeah.
Okay, but still, it's starting to narrow.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're starting to pluck feathers. The chicken is.
Right. Well, what we were just talking about with our guests, I think it's an interesting aspect of the AFC, where the vast majority of teams in that conference, are below 500. Though you do have some teams that are surging. So I like what we've seen from the Chargers this season. They've won three in a row, and Jim Harbaugh has certainly got them looking like a winner, or more like a winner. I don't know. You don't know. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll wait for you.
We value your perspective here because you're
going to talk over me.
Extremely smart.
Thank you. Smart, I appreciate that.
So I need some information here. Who do you think going forward in the AFC can have a chance?
Well,
I say,
I mean, have a chance leaves the door wide open, because if you're in the playoffs, you have a chance. But I would say right now your strongest teams, not any major surprise, but the Bills have won 5 in a row. The Steelers look terrific since Russell Wilson took over at quarterback. We knew they had the special teams. We knew they had the defense. Now they also...
And they're well coached.
Of course. Now they also have the offense to go along with. As for the Ravens, now their back end of their defense is tough. They've given up more 20-plus yard plays than any team.
Don't they play the Steelers this week?
This is fun. I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule. Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Steelers,
cool.
Ravens.
Sounds good. So the Ravens, I would say, are definitely in there. I still think the Texans, because of their experience last year, and obviously the Chiefs as the defending Super Bowl champs in the AFC. And then I love the two teams at the top in the NFC, the Eagles, the Commanders. No team with a rookie quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl, so that's a massive challenge. And they've got a lot of young guys, but the way that they've started out puts them in position. The Lions are amazing, and they're building on their experience from last season. They can win a variety of ways. I'm still not completely sold on the Falcons. They seem a little rickety to me. Or the Cardinals. The Cardinals, though, they're on top of a weaker division, and I wouldn't count out the Niners if I were anyone with worth my weight in salt.
They look good, but they're not Super Bowl contenders. What about the Eagles?
I mentioned the Eagles.
Man, I think they're going all the way.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I like it.
And I'm a Steeler fan.
Yeah.
I say
in New Mexico?
Super Bowl. Yes, ma'am. We don't have a Super Bowl. We don't have a team here. So we could pick whoever we want to.
Nice. Why did you pick the Steelers?
I've been a Steeler fan since 1974.
Gotcha. So you picked them just because?
My age.
Well, whatever. Lots of people are 70s and 80s babies. People are 60s and 50s babies. Sports fans are everyone.
Why don't you guys move out here to New Mexico? Scoop up Bob and get out here to Santa Fe, get to Pearl Ranch, raise some cattle, get some horses.
That sounds amazing.
Your dollar will go further.
That's true. I might even leave radio for that picture. It sounds amazing.
No, you won't. You're a city girl. You're a city girl.
Nope. I am not a city girl, Pablo. I live here because I have to. I grew up in the backwoods of New Hampshire. I am not a city girl. Yeah, that's not true. I much prefer the woods.
That's too much. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. You've kept me awake every night. I drive 500 miles a night.
Oh.
Every night.
Oh. Don't.
And you're my go-to.
I appreciate that. We're happy to keep you company. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I love, my favorite part of that was he really respects me and thinks I'm really smart and wants to hear what I have to say. And then when I start to talk, he starts to talk over me. He's back, Marco. What are you doing over there? Rubbing your eyes? Are you shreepy?
No.
Oh.
No.
What's happening?
Oh, none. There you go.
I missed you last week, at the end of last week.
Where was I?
I don't know.
I feel like I was here.
Maybe sometime in the beginning of last week. I don't know. It just feels like it's been a while.
Pretty sure I've been here.
Oh. Whoops.
Sure, I've been here.
I can't keep up with your schedule. It changes every single day.
It does.
It really
but I,
does.
No, I'm pretty sure because I worked over the weekend too. Now I feel like I've been
Did
here
you?
Every day. Yeah.
What'd you do over the weekend?
I was here Sunday. I was on after the Giant post game, so that was fun.
Super fun.
Yeah. Not Talking to all the Giant fans after going
team.
To Germany and lose to the woeful Panthers. That was fun. That was fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At least they made it interesting for the Munich fans before they fumbled to start overtime. I actually felt badly for Tyrone Tracy. He looked inconsolable.
Yeah. The New York fans don't care about the fact that Germany fans were cheering for what they don't even know.
Right. That's the best part is that they just cheer.
Yeah, none. You had people in Giants gear cheering while the Panthers score. I'm not even kidding you. There was a guy
that's
that was
amazing.
Wearing Giants stuff
It's awesome.
Clapping while the Panthers scored. I don't think he knew what he was looking at.
That's terrific. So my sister-in-law is Filipino, and she doesn't really care much about sports at all, any kind of sports. But she gets very excited about the just something dramatic. And so back when we were younger, because she and my brother and I all went to college together. So back when we were younger, we'd watch sports with her, and she would just cheer for anything exciting. So it wouldn't matter. It could be like one team. It could be the other team. It just she would just cheer for any big moment and then have no idea what she was cheering for. But it was so funny.
Yeah, that would make me nuts. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I actually don't like to watch sports when I'm away from work. So now when the family watches sports, it is actually for fun. Remember when Lynn Sanity? Oh, my goodness. Yes. My family was so into Lynn Sanity. That was a lot of fun. And they'll get into other just kind of random, you know, like viral sports things, viral sports moments, but not really into the day-to-day.
Oh, that's fine. I don't know if I'd be able to watch a game that I care about the outcome where someone's cheering for both sides. I think I got to get up and walk out and be by myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not going to deny that. That wouldn't take
it that seriously anymore.
Yeah. One, maybe two series.
I used to be like that, and then I worked in this business for 25 years, and now, ugh. It's not nearly that serious to me anymore. Although the show, we're all about being serious here. At A-Law Radio, that's where you can find me online. If you too would like to call up and have us keep you company while you're driving 500 miles, that's amazing. So you can find us 855-212-4227 on our Facebook page. Vote for Monday MVP. We got a lot to get to. For instance, college football from over the weekend, some moments that I think are worth highlighting. And as we talked about with our friend Omar Kelly from LA, the standings are a little quirky. So we'll get to more of the NFL and what teams are doing to try to position themselves. The Bears are in a bit of a crisis right now. The Cowboys, what's new? They've got drama going on. So yeah, there's some interesting stuff to come out of the NFL just in the wake of week number 10. Can you believe it? Week number 10. It's now in the books. But no, they're not shortening the season to 16 weeks. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
The name was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Well, the Dolphins trying to get themselves back on track and put a damper in the Rams' playoff chances.
Achane in the pistol formation. Tua takes a snap, pulls it back out, throws it, touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Just 207 yards passing, but that score from Tua Tagovailoa to Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins erased the Rams 23-15. Call courtesy of the Dolphins Radio Network. Miami defense, four sacks, forced a pair of turnovers, just their third victory, but Tua still hopeful for the season.
The resilience of this team with the external noise, everyone counting us out. You know, hopefully this is an opportunity for us to not waste. You know, hopefully we can go on a run with this win and find our rhythm. Towards the back end of the season now.
Dolphins 3-6 snaps LA's three-game win streak. They're now 4-5. Mike McCarthy deflected from the comments made by Micah Parsons. Did say they spoke privately. Bears made it clear they're sticking with Caleb Williams at quarterback, but doesn't mean head coach Matt Eberflus won't be looking for other things that need improvement.
You know, in-game communication, you know, in terms of that, it's got to be better. The adjustments, the tactical adjustments need to be better, you know, with that on all sides. And everything's on the table. And it's important that we look at everything and we take the time to get that done.
NBA, the Cavs continue to roll. Now 12 straight out of the gates. They handle the Bulls 119-113 as Donovan Mitchell put in 36. Thunder outscore the Clippers 134-126. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put in 45. Nets upend the Pelicans 107-105. Rockets overwhelm the Wizards 107-92. And the Spurs dump the Kings 116-96 as Victor Wembanyama at 34 points and 14 rebounds. College basketball, Alabama able to hold off McNeese State 72-64. Iowa State erased Kansas City 82-56. Purdue handled Yale 92-84. Marquette took out Central Michigan 70-62. Florida punished Grambling 86-62. Ohio State rolled Youngstown State 81-47. Texas A&M rocked Lamar 97-71. And Rutgers able to get past St. Peter's 75-65. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227.
Here's Garland into the paint. Lobbed up over.
And the Cavaliers regain the advantage. And now at the other end of Steele, here comes Jerome behind him to Mitchell. Mitchell up with a left hand, spun it home. 14, here's Mobley. Right corner, LeVert, three ball, Karis. Bullseye! Karis LeVert right in front of the Cavalier bench. The Cavalier bench erupts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, believe it or not, the Cavaliers, your Cleveland Cavaliers, are 12-0. This doesn't happen very often. In fact, it's the best start out of the gate since the 2015-16 Golden State Warriors. Only the eighth team in NBA history ever to start a season with 12 straight wins. And this was a tussle with the Bulls. In fact, the Bulls had a 9-point lead in the second half, and Cavaliers were able to come back in large part because of Donovan Mitchell. He was smooth. He was fluid when he wasn't hitting shots from three or four steps beyond the arc, whether it be on the bounce, whether it be on the pass. He was spinning his way into the paint for a layup. So yeah, season high 36 for Donovan. Also, Karis LeVert with a big three late in the game. Darius Garland had a layup with about 24 seconds to go to seal the deal. And the Cavaliers are hot to trot right now in the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad that we can highlight them considering what's happening with the Browns. But I do love that Kenny Atkinson has been able to bring some credibility into that locker room and take them kind of to the next step. They've had the pieces. They certainly have got guys who are talented, but just getting the leadership, getting the experience, getting a voice in there who can point them in the right direction and cause them to have all of their all of their various pieces and all their various challenges with a voice, with a guy who's been there before, who certainly understands both the positives and the negatives. I've seen so much in the NBA. I just think him stepping into the locker room because he was a former player and also has had other head coaching opportunities, was with the Nets for 4 years, of course. This is a big deal for them to have him kind of guiding the ship, if you will. So congratulations, the Cavaliers Radio Network. They are 12-0, and of course, on top of not just the Eastern Conference, but best record in the league at this point. You've got a handful of teams that are sitting on, what, two losses? That includes the Oklahoma City Thunder, who got 45 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on a Monday. Don't say Wednesday, Amy. That would just be a big tease. Shai, or SGA as they call him, a career high 45. And as they're missing Chet Holmgren, he'll be gone for at least 8 weeks. And it's a hip fracture. I've heard that this is actually a relatively rare injury, but it came during a hard fall when the Thunder and the Warriors were playing on Sunday. He's a relatively slight guy. I know he's big, but I do sometimes wonder about the 7-plus footers and how fragile they are. We know a lot of them have knee and foot problems. Well, in this case, he's been so efficient in terms of his scoring opportunities, and obviously he alters shots, if not flat out block shots. And to have him out for 8 weeks means you've got other guys who have to step up, because a lot of what they do is built around his ability in the paint. But yeah, Mark Daigneault, he's got them moving forward as best they can, and they'll adjust, and then would get Chet back for, gosh, for really the mid-season, the mid-section, as well as the stretch run.
This is a team that has made a habit in a number of years now of responding to challenges with energy and together, and seeing them as opportunities. These are resilient, high character people, and that's on display time and again. Tonight was just it was pretty routine at this point. You know, it's almost surprising when we're not like that.
And so even though they're now much shorter, it's actually funny to think about, not the injury at all, of course, but with Holmgren, I should just call him Chet, with Chet being 7'1", that's an element that they don't have without him, because their tallest starter is 6'6". So you're looking at wing guys or guys who are more midi players as opposed to someone who can alter shots in the paint. Think about what Kristaps Porzingis has meant to the Boston Celtics after he joined them, and the way that Brad Stevens kind of retooled his lineup before they won the NBA title around an inside presence like KP. Well, that's what Chet is all about. And so the Thunder are going to change a little bit without him. They're going to push the tempo. They're going to try to get up and down the court. They want to be careful about turning the ball over, but they were efficient with the basketball in beating the Clippers on Monday night. They're just going to need more all hands on deck type of an approach until Chet can get healthy. And I certainly hope he does, because he's such a unique presence in the NBA. 1 hour down, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.